For those of you that were here last week, welcome to Storms Part 2. Gareth emailed me this week and said, God often has a lot to say about storms. And for your sake and mine, I hope he's right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, quiet our hearts and our minds, even for these few moments, that we might hear your voice and draw courage from your words. Amen. How many have ever been afraid of something or scared? How many have ever thought, why am I so afraid? Why am I so anxious? What is it that scares me so much? Some years ago when our kids were quite young, I went to my wife and I said, honey, why don't I take the kids for the afternoon so you can have something to do here by yourself? And in that sudden lapse of judgment, which, by the way, I would not encourage dads to go home and try this, she looked at me and she said, sure. So I did. And I got the kids in the car and they were having a circus or something down at the Kennedy Center where they have these clowns and people juggling. And it's just this wild thing going on. And I thought, again, maybe that'd be a great thing to do. So I take the kids down there. We get out of the car and we go in. And the place is jam packed. Just incredibly packed with people. And I have Michael with me, who is 4, and Jesse, who that time is 2. And we get up to the front where this guy is juggling, and I look down at Michael, and he looks up like, you know, Dad, you're awesome. And I thought, you're right, son. And I look over at Jesse, and she's gone. And I think to myself, dude, this is not good. And then I think, when I get home, my wife is going to kill me. So I grab Michael and I go running up these steps onto this platform, and it's overlooking this huge pavilion. And I just see this big sea of people and faces. And I pray, Lord God, do something. You ever prayed that prayer? Help me! Prayed that as I was walking up these steps. Finally, this woman comes running up and she says, are you looking for this little girl, little blonde girl, about 2 years old? And I said, yes! And we go running back down the steps and I grab Michael and I pull him down and boom, 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 down the steps. And we get down and this policeman's holding Jessie by her arm. And I run up and I grab her and I hug her. And then I drop her and I pick up the policeman and I hug him. Then I pick up the woman and I hug her. Then the policeman hugged the woman. Went on for like 20 minutes. Finally, I got to a phone and I said, honey, I found her. I found her. She's like, found what? I was like, oh, never mind. I'll be home in a little bit. You know, as we look at this scripture this morning, we see these guys that are scared out of their minds. They're completely have lost it. They're afraid. Fear has struck them. And as Gareth said last week, often the water and the sea is a place of darkness, of fear, a place where evil lurks. Slimy things and monsters are in the sea, even for some fishermen. And yet, as Gareth also said last week, the Lord God is God over the sea. Psalm 89 says, O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Our God is indeed a God of power and of might. First thing we realize when we read this story is that these guys got into the boat because Jesus asked them to. They're not just playing around. They're not just doing things that are stupid. They're not acting like teenagers. They're not just having fun. Forgot what they were doing. All of a sudden they're out in the middle of a storm. Jesus says, get in the boat. In other Gospels, in the story, he is almost like this conductor that says, all aboard. Peter, you're up front. John, you're rowing. Let's go. He'd had a long day. He'd been in Capernaum. He'd been healing people. He cast out evil demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, which, well, and then he gets in this boat and he says, it's a long day. Let's go. You know, the point is, this God we worship is a sending God. When we get comfortable, when we get to a place where we relax, God likes to send us. And sometimes into deep water. The Bible said that God so loved the world that He what? Sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent the Apostle Paul and Timothy. He sent the disciples. He sent Mary, the mother of Jesus. He sent Moses. He sent Joshua. He sent the prophets. What makes you think He won't send you? Gay and I were pretty comfortable in the city. God sent us to the suburbs. Good friend of ours, a lot of you know Chuck Reinhold, at 63 years of age, God sent him to Ethiopia. Garrick was pretty comfortable up in Bethlehem. God sent him to the National Presbyterian Church. The mistake you don't want to make is when you get there to think it's because you did something wrong or somebody else did something wrong. It may be Jesus sent you. Second thing we realize, in the NIV, it says that the storm came without warning. In other translations, it says, suddenly, the storm came up. You know, oftentimes, there's not signs in the road that say, hey, yeah, guess what? There's a storm coming. Hello? We don't all have our own little super Doppler that says, we got a storm coming up. We don't have our own weather channel. It says, here comes a storm. Gay and I had our third child. We held him for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then the nurse took him. And she went over and examined him for about 15 minutes. She noticed he had a crease straight across his hand. That his ears were smaller and they were lower. That his face was flatter. His neck was thicker. His tongue was thick. His arms were floppy. She called upstairs to a neonatologist who came down and looked at him for just a few minutes and then looked at us and said, I think your son has Down syndrome. At that point, the storm is on. The waves are crashing over the boat. There's not time then to go board up the windows with plywood. If you haven't put it in, it's not there. If you want a strong boat that will survive storms, you've got to get it strong when the weather is nice on dry ground. Because when the storm hits, and you don't know when it's going to hit, it's too late. And the thing I realized was that it was the things that were beneath the surface of the water in that boat that were the most important. Things people couldn't see. It's the keel and the rudder and the hull of a boat that make it strong. So these disciples, they run to the back of the boat, scared out of their minds, and Jesus, the God the universe, the Lord of all creation, is asleep. He's laying in the bottom of the boat asleep. And this is one particular passage we point to where we know that good chance Jesus wasn't married. Because the next verse would say, and his wife grabbed the remote from his hand and began to beat him with her copy of Sports Illustrated. But Jesus wakes up, his disciples say, get up, we're going to die. Lord, save us. And he gets up and he looks at them and he says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? You know what I think he says? I think kind of like he said to Gay and I that day when David was born. What do you really trust? You trust me now? Or you trust this boat? You trust these oars? You trust yourselves? You think you're strong enough? Smart enough? You think you can do it on your own? Do you trust me? Really? I think Jesus looks at us and he says, I don't care if it's your mom, your dad, your spouse, your kids, your job, your retirement fund, your big house, your nice church, even life itself. If you trust anything, if your heart is grabbed more by anything, if you love anything more than me, you will live in fear and anxiety for the rest of your life. You will have a hard time following me. Bonhoeffer said it like this: those who follow Jesus have no security, no possessions to call their own, not even a foot of earth to call their home, no earthly society to claim their allegiance. Nay more, they have no spiritual power, experience, or knowledge to afford them consolation or security. For his sake, they have lost all. In following him, they have lost even their own selves and everything that could make them rich. And now, they are poor, so inexperienced, so stupid, that they have no other hope but him who called them. And that, folks, that's real freedom. That's real power. That's real security. Jesus said, he who wants to follow me must deny himself and take up his cross daily. Craig Barnes said it like this: people who have given everything to God are then free to live with more passion because they're not worried about losing things. They already did that when they came to God. Now Jesus stirred from his nap, goes to the front of the boat, looks into this storm, and he says, be still. And the Bible said it was a dead calm. You could hear crickets. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. The Lord of the universe. So what about you? What about me? What about us? What's the challenge God's putting in front of you? What's the risk he's asking you to take? What storm do you find yourself in? Why are you afraid? Who do you trust? story of Martin Luther King, whose birthday we'll celebrate tomorrow in Montgomery, Alabama. Late one night, he gets a call. And the voice on the other side says, if you stay in Montgomery this week, you will be dead by Friday. He says in his book that his fears came crashing down on top of him. So I got out of bed and I began to walk the floor. Finally, I went to the kitchen and heated a pot of coffee. I was ready to give up. I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had almost gone, I determined to take my problem to God. My head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and I prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But now, I'm afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I have come to the point where I can't face it alone. I'm at the end of my rope. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine like I never had before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up. Stand up for righteousness, for justice, for the truth. I will be at your side. I am with you forever. Almost at once, my fears began to pass from me. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. The outer situation remained the same. The storm continued to rage. But God had given me an inner calm. People like Dr. King are courageous people. Are risk takers, are people who ride out into the middle of the storm, are people who are willing to stand against adversity. Because he's smart, because he has a lot of courage, because he is winsome, because he stands with the God of the universe, the God of power and might, the God who says, be still. And the waves are a dead calm. How about us? Why are you and I so afraid? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you promise to never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that the storms in our lives drive us closer to you. Today, give us courage and give us strength and help us to trust you with our whole hearts, minds, and souls. In the name of Jesus, the one who sends us.